There's a scripture back in, you don't have to turn there, Jeremiah, that says, God is speaking. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster, plans to give you a future filled with hope. And, you know, that sounds pretty good. It's encouraging to hear words like that. I remember a sermon at the feast several years ago. Minister said that God is good all the time. And that little phrase, it was a sermon about that God is good all the time, has stuck in my mind. And I like to think of God that way, that He is good no matter what happens. You can always depend on God to be good all the time. Yet, we are often, even though we read this scripture, I know the plans that I have for you, they are plans for peace and not disaster, plans to give you a future filled with hope. We understand that God is good all the time, yet we worry a lot. Have you noticed that? That we sort of, I don't know how many hours a day we spend worrying about something, but we're good at it. We're good at worrying about things. And especially, you know, now with the condition of the world economy, we worry about the future. We worry about whether I'll have a job or lose my job. We worry about global recession or depression. I guess we got a lot to worry about when you think about it. I mean, we worry about our children. We worry about a nation giving up its freedoms. And you know, every time you look for government to do something for you, you're giving away your freedom. You know, you want the government to provide some type of health care. Well, you're giving up more of your freedom as you delegate out stuff to the government. It's like a life of constantly worrying about what might happen. A life of constantly worrying about what might happen. And there was a statistic, I think Earl Nightingale said that what percentage of what you worry about never happens, I forget what it was, but it was just a small percentage next to zero of the things we worry about that actually happen. You know, it's a strange thing. 25 years ago, we got married, and that's not strange, but it did happen. We were building a home, and I had the same worries 25 years ago. I wondered, of course, we would back up a little bit further. About 30 years ago, it was Jimmy Carter was president. Interest rate was 25%. New construction, there was none. And, of course, doing the type of work that I did, I thought, well, we're building this home. We're getting married. I wonder if I'll be able to make the payment. That's the worry that I had, you know. I wonder what the economy will be. I wonder what the future will hold. And you know, worry can keep you from doing a lot of things. It neutralizes us. And people will ask questions like, well, I wonder if I should get married. I wonder if I should. I thought about this one when Teresa was pregnant. I wonder if we should bring children into this world. I mean, it's such an evil, rotten, filthy world. I mean, why would you want to bring? And so I wonder if you should bring children into this world at this time. Should I buy a house? Should I rent a home? You know, maybe the end is near. Maybe Christ is going to return within my lifetime. And I believe we are living in the end. I mean, I believe that. But you know, did you know the Apostle Paul thought he was also living during the day, that he makes this statement, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. He actually thought 2,000 years ago that he was going to live up unto the return of Christ. He missed it by 2,000 years. But you know, he goes back in 2 Thessalonians and corrects that to his audience, the people, his letters. He says, well, you know, first, don't let any man be deceived. There's first got to come a falling away. So he corrects himself about that and realized, I think, that the return of Christ would be on out in the future. Did you know that in the Church of God, that my mother tells this story, that, and this has probably been about 30 years ago, that there were people in that church that didn't get dental work done because they thought, you know, they thought, well, Christ is going to return. And, of course, when you're spirit, you know, you forget teeth. I mean, why do you need teeth? I mean, teeth will be provided or whatever, you know. But, and so they didn't even have dental work done. Didn't need to. Christ was going to return. Well, that was 30 years ago. Yeah. Worry can neutralize a person where you don't do anything, but you just wait for something to happen. Now, there's a song, and I'm not going to tell you who it was from, but the words stick, you know, little phrases of song stick in my head. Here was a song. It said, "Never wait or hesitate. Give and get before it's too late. You may never get another chance." Never wait or hesitate. Give and get before it's too late. You may never get another chance. You know, you think, okay, is that a concept that I should live by? Well, Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, or nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going. It almost seems like Ecclesiastes, Solomon, it almost seems like this neutralized state that we get in, waiting for something bad to happen, is not good. You know, I'm just going to sit back and wait for something. I know something bad is about to happen. I'm going to be depressed if it doesn't have something bad, you know, happen. I want to talk a little bit about worry, since we're so good at it. Matthew 8 and verse 24. Let's look at Jesus' example. Matthew 8 and verse 24. I love this story because, you know, here is a, you know, I've told a story about my mother used to read to me, and I'd say, quit reading, I just want to look at the pictures. And here's a picture of something going on, something Jesus is doing. And it is so powerful what he's doing. You'll never guess what he's doing here. And behold, in Matthew 8 and verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto him, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Wow. Now, I think about all the things that we worry about. We worry about the future. We worry about our children. We worry about the economy. We worry about money. We worry about our work, jobs, all the things that we worry about. And we look over there, and there's Jesus lying in the hammock between two palm trees. The ocean, the waves are cascading in, the rumble of the wind blowing in. He's asleep. You know, Lord, wake up! Wake up! We've got something to worry about. What are you doing asleep? We've got to at least worry 2 hours a day. We're not going to be happy unless we worry for at least two. Come, wake up. Come worry with us. Well, it's oh, you a little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Matthew 24. I want to turn back to Matthew 24 and verse 33. And I want to consider, because, like I said, I do believe that we're living in the latter days. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Christ returned in my lifetime. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But there are things about living in the last days that worry us. Of course, that's one thing, you know, worry worries us. We worry about everything. But I'm going to look at some concepts here about the way we live our lives in the last days. So likewise, Matthew 24 and verse 33, so likewise you, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And you'll have to look at what he said. He talked about the tribulation and the signs of Christ's return, his return. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Verse 26. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels or of heaven, but my Father only. Now, there are people that say, well, Christ, you really didn't mean that. Because I know. In fact, I have set a date when Christ is going to return. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Now, is there anything wrong with eating or drinking or marrying, building a home? No. Not a thing wrong with that. The danger is people who stick their head in the sand and pretend nothing is wrong. That's the real danger about living in the end time. People that are unwilling to face reality and all its ugliness. It's an unwillingness to face what Sandy talked about, the condition of our nation. It's not that bad. That's the problem. Because in the days of Noah, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what God saw. And there were a few other people that saw it also. And they were saved. Rescued. The majority didn't see it. The majority didn't see the wickedness of man and every imagination of his heart was evil. The majority didn't see it. I've often thought about why people hate someone like Glenn Beck. You know, they hate a person like that because of the message. You know, people really want to stick their head in the sand and say, no, we're not that bad. And America is really not that bad, and we're not really headed in the wrong direction. So the problem is not eating, drinking, getting married, or raising a family, or building a home, or borrowing money, or anything like that. The problem is the unwillingness to face reality of the condition that we're in as a nation. So what am I trying to say here? Well, I'm trying to say don't deny yourself God's blessing because you're waiting on something bad to happen. Don't deny yourself God's blessing because you're sitting around waiting on something bad to happen. You should enjoy what God gives you. You should enjoy everything, every blessing that God gives you to the fullest. You know, I think it was Ron Dart gave a message called Guilt or Gratitude. How that often we feel guilty for the blessings that we have and enjoy. And he asked the question, do you have guilt about what or gratitude? And we should have gratitude instead of giving ourselves the guilt trip. If we're living in the last days, three questions I want to ask. Well, one question God is going to ask us here. That's the last one, but I have two questions. And the third one will be a question God, I think, asks of us. First question, where does God want you to be? Where does God want you to be? Well, I'll give you an answer to that. In the morning, when you get up out of bed, you know, you fix your coffee or whatever you do, walk outside and look up or look around. That right there is where God wants you to be. Right where you're at. In your home, your family, your friends, your relatives, the people that you know. Where does God want you to be? He wants you to be right where you are. There was a song, it was a show, Cheers, I believe, and they had this little song, Well, it started out with this song. It said, where everybody knows your name. You know, if you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, that's what you want. You want more people to know your name. Now, I've had the mentality of, you know, I've sort of wanted to become a hermit where nobody knows my name. It's a problem with that, you know. It doesn't work if you're going to be a disciple of Christ. It just won't work. What you want is for more. You want everybody to know your name. And that's tough for me. I spent a lot of my life avoiding people. But the more people you know, your greater chance to be a witness for Christ. So where does God want you to be? Right where you are. Your locality, your family, your friends, your place of work, the people you influence, your school, your college. That's where he wants you to be. Second question is that we often worry about living in the end times. You know, we worry about where does God want me to be? What does he want me to do? What he wants you to do is very simple. Go ye therefore and share the gospel of repentance. Christ died for your sins. Baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit. Second thing we worry about is, where is your place of safety? We are concerned about our, you know, we want protection. Where is your place of safety? Question, where was Daniel's place of safety? You know where it was? In the lion's den. Where were the three Hebrew children, which included Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Chaldean names, I believe. But where was their place of safety? In the fiery furnace. It's amazing. Where's your place of safety? Well, it's wherever you are. Now, there's no guarantee. Just like with Daniel, you know, he said, look, whether God will deliver us or not, but be it known unto you, O king, we will not worship your gods. It's up to God whether he protects or not. Look at Psalms 91 and verse 4, because this is encouraging when we worry about, will God protect me? Where is your place of safety? Psalms 91 and verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not fear the terror by night, nor because of the arrow that flies by day, nor for the plague that walks in darkness, or the destruction lying waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your right side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you, O Jehovah, are my refuge. If you have made the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, near your dwellings. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You know, I like that scripture when it comes to our place of safety. Did you know that the church, again, the Church of God many years ago, talked about a place of safety? Fleeing to a place of safety. And there were people that sold their, I understand it, there were people that sold their properties, land, possessions, to go to a place. This is 30 years ago now. It was a desert. I think Petra. A cave in the desert. Wouldn't that be enjoyable? Yeah. I believe that in the end time, God's people are going to be scattered all over the landscape for a reason. God needs you to be wherever you have the greatest influence. And, you know, a place of safety is not a place that we all flee to and while the world gets theirs. We need to be involved in a work. And God will scatter, I think, his people wherever they need to be to get that work done. Now, there is a place of safety from the last seven vials that are poured out on mankind. You know where that is? It's the resurrection from the dead. You see, when your spirit, vials don't have an effect on you when they're poured out. Spirit being, that is. The third one is a question that I think God gives to us, ask us. Actually, I got this from Ron Dart. Two little questions. Where are you and what are you doing? In that message, he mentioned that the first question God asked man is, where are you? It was a question he asked Adam. Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding behind that bush? You know, what are you doing there? Where are you, Adam? You're in the wrong place. Where are you and what are you doing? And the question, what are you doing here, is a question that God asked Elijah. You know, Elijah was hid out in a cave. And God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? You're in the wrong place, Elijah. So those two little questions, I think, is something that we need to ask ourselves, that God asks of us. What are you doing? Where are you and what are you doing? Are you in the right place? Are you where God needs you to be? Are you doing what God needs you to do? Closing, I want to turn back to Matthew 24 and verse 44. 24 and verse 44. We're told to be ready. Matthew 24 and verse 44 says, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Doing what? Well, doing the work of the church. Go ye therefore into all the world, doing whatever you can, doing the work of the watchman, that was mentioned earlier. Warning, giving the message. And where does God want you to be? Probably right where you are. Where is your place of safety? Probably wherever you go is your place of safety. It's right there where you are. And let's remember this question that God always asks us is, where are you and what are you doing here? And to be busily doing whatever we can do to share the gospel with others.